God bless you today, beloved, in the marvelous name of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I did a 35-minute devotion after studying this morning for hours, only to find out, which has happened to me, I think, at least 5 times already, that my sensors on my phone were turned off and my microphone was turned off and nothing recorded. The work that it takes really to preach the truth, it takes some work. It really takes some effort. And I'm ashamed at the years and the times when I would just get up easily and preach something. Most of the time I spent a lot of time studying, but there were times I just didn't take it serious enough. I didn't fear the Lord. So I'd get in the pulpit because I thought I knew it. And Jeff would just do his thing. And man, to really share a pure message, I fear the Lord in this area. It's like when someone asks me to speak now, I don't fear the people. Like I know most people don't like public speaking until you get used to it. Nobody does. But I don't have that fear. But now there's a different kind of fear. I don't want to misrepresent the Lord. I don't want to misrepresent the truth. And so I erase much more than I send, because I'll listen. And if there's anything there that I feel like is not really representing him properly, it's not, or it's going to mislead, then I'll just erase it. And so I have to really meditate and get in God's presence and be still and patient, hallelujah, to be able to share these things with those who have ears to hear, praise God. But I pray today, after this miserable failure, all that time I spent, I pray that God would somehow give us what we need to hear today in Jesus' name. Through our weakness, his strength is made perfect. I talked about yesterday the difference of the two covenants. And the first, the old covenant, is if you'll obey God and do what he says to do, your life will prosper and you'll have success. Whereas the new covenant says your life is born in iniquity and must be rejected and hated, because it could never do what God says to do and be blessed. And you've got to believe in the life of the last Adam. It's the only righteous life that does what God says to do. It's the only life that is holy and pure. And I wanted to pick back up on that, because I know that it causes people confusion. People think, how do I stop trying to be good for God? It doesn't even make sense. And there are many people, watch this, many people have been deeply deceived by teachers who teach that we need to stop trying to be good for God. And they say we're no longer under the law. The modern day grace movement is mostly deception. They teach we're no longer under the law, but they do not ever teach that you must hate your own life and reject it and deny yourself. They don't teach you are called to a life of suffering. They do not teach that. They simply say we're not under the law, and then they say God wants to prosper us. Man, Adam sure loves that. Now he gets the benefits of following the law without having to follow it. God's going to bless your life. God's going to prosper you. God's going to give you great success. And you don't have to follow the law. Whew, man, you get your cake and you get to eat it too. There's nothing better than that. Oh my goodness. There's no message that makes a human being feel better than the false gospel of grace that tells you you're not under the law, but doesn't tell you you've got to hate your own life and reject it. Because walking in the new covenant is not just rejecting the old one. Walking in the life of Christ is not rejecting the law. Walking in the life of Christ is seeing the law fulfilled by showing us what we are, and then truly hating what we are, and daily taking up our cross, rejecting our own life, and believing in his. We must decrease, he must increase. It's going to be painful. It's going to be difficult. God's not promising to give us the things of the world. He's not promising to put us on the top. He's not promising to give us great success. It's amazing how sly ministers, they don't even realize they're doing it often. It's demonic. How they can twist the word of God to give Adam what he wants, to tell Adam what he wants to hear. And all they're doing is bringing you to destruction, twisting God's word to their own destruction. This is why, if we would be honest, I have met many, many, many people. I myself was deceived by some of the grace movement. And I've met many people that have all kinds of iniquity in their lives that say, I'm not under the law. They don't hate their own life. They're looking forward to their destiny being, they're looking forward to God giving them great success. And they don't hate their life, but they at least they've laid hold of the message, I'm not under the law, I'm not under the law, I'm not under the law. God loves me, God accepts me the way I am. That is a complete lie. It is a twist on the word of God. The only thing that delivers us from the law, watch this. God said, for all who walk after the Spirit are not under the law. Those who walk after the Spirit are not under the law. The opposite of that is those who do not walk after the Spirit are still under the condemnation of the law. And then the Bible said, if we walk after the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians teaches the reason we're not under the law is when we are walking after the Spirit, we're not breaking it. That's what Galatians teaches. Those who walk after the Spirit, they walk in love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. So there's no need for the law, because walking after the Spirit of life delivers us from the bondage to decay. And the deeds of the body are put to death by believing what he accomplished, confessing what he accomplished, and his life now is manifesting. His life is bringing true deliverance and true salvation and true righteousness. Amen. So those that walk after the Spirit are under the law. But what Adam wants is he doesn't want to walk after the Spirit. He doesn't want to hate his own life. He doesn't want to really understand that. He doesn't want to be ostracized and hated and go through suffering. What he wants is to be free to do whatever he wants to do and for God to accept him anyway, for God to love him anyway. This is why this message of false grace has transitioned into even people now are living homosexual lifestyles, which is just one sin. It's just the same thing as all other sin, but it's just a glaring picture of how false the movement is. Living in a homosexual lifestyle, saying I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. And they don't understand the new covenant. You know, when Jesus came, he wasn't easy. Amen. He said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He put the same demand that God has always put on Adam. You know, God demands that perfect righteousness. We can't enter into heaven without perfect righteousness. Now, that demand is intended to bring us to the end of ourselves, to get us to a point where we hate our own life and we see what it is and we believe in what his is and we confess what he accomplished. And daily, we take up our cross and we follow and we walk after Jesus. That's the intent of God's demand, of God's command. It's to bring us all under condemnation, to show us the truth. And then the law is a schoolmaster to take us by the hand and show us and lead us to the life of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God. The law takes us by the hand and brings us to him by showing us what we are, by bringing us under condemnation, by showing us we can't produce anything that's good. What happens when someone says we're no longer under the law, that God accepts us the way we are, is that they let their guard down and they begin to let all kinds of sin in, and they deceive themselves. They say things like, well, God doesn't take it into account anymore because I believe in Jesus. My sins aren't counted against me. He doesn't remember them anymore. And really what they're doing is they're trying to walk in little pieces of the new covenant, but leaving out the foundation of the entire thing. The foundation of the entire thing is a rejection of our own life. That's what baptism is about. It's hating this life. I don't want me anymore. I see what I am, and every day I reject my own life, and I believe in His. And the more I proclaim the truth of the cross, why we all had to die, the more Adam rejects me, and so I'm suffering, and I'm going through being ostracized. I'm rejected. I'm not accepted. I'm confused at times. I'm attacked mentally. I'm attacked physically. I'm going through all of these things constantly. And friend, it's not a life that any human being would volunteer for without a revelation of what's to come. The reason we're willing to face such a difficult life is because we understand the truth. We understand that this corruptible world and this corruptible life must come to an end quickly. And what's to come is incorruptible. Oh, we long for this corruption to put on incorruption. We long for God to bring the remedy. This everything we see will be burned up with fire. We're not wanting our reward here. We're not looking for success here. We are suffering, pilgrims passing through, mistreated and abused. This is what the Word says about true believers. We are pilgrims passing through. This world is not our home. We're not looking for money. We're not looking for success. We're not looking for God to give us favor among the world. But we are understanding the true message of the cross. Oh, praise the living God. And pressing into the mark of the high calling that is in Christ. So believing in Jesus is not saying I'm not under the law. Believing in Jesus is rejecting my own life and believing in His life and taking up my cross and denying myself every single day. Every single day, and then believing for His life, for His righteousness to be manifest. And that there, the only true deliverance, the only true power is found in that life of suffering with Christ and in Christ. Jesus suffered for us, leaving us an example that we might follow in His footsteps, Peter said. That's why Jesus suffered for us, to show us how, to lead us into the right. Jesus didn't gain the world. The world killed Him. This is the call for a new covenant believer. He's not promising you the world. He's promising you the world will kill you if you follow Me. He's not promising to heal your marriage. He's promising your marriage will suffer in many cases if you believe in Me and follow Me. Your relationship with your children will suffer if you believe in Me and you follow Me. Your relationship with every human being will suffer, for you will be hated of all men for My name's sake. If you believe in the truth and the true message of the cross. So, beloved, I pray that God would blow away all confusion in Jesus' name, and that He would give us a clear understanding and a revelation of the difference of these two covenants. We don't just stop trying to be good and start living in iniquity and say, well, the cross took care of all that. That is not the gospel. The good news is you couldn't do it, so God killed you. Somebody say, how is that good news? Because He's offering you His very life, the life of the right-hand seat. He's offering you the life of His own Son to be one with Jesus when Christ, who is your life, appears. You can't have yours and His too. Oh my goodness, what He's offering us is so much better than what we have. It's an exchange that takes place. He's not here to embrace us. He's not here to accept us. He came here to crucify us and to give us the life of Jesus, the only life acceptable to the Father, the only way to the Father, the only life that can enter into heaven. Jesus came down. He said, none has entered into heaven except for the one that came down from heaven. He said, no one has seen the Father except for the one that came out of the Father. Jesus is the only way into the kingdom of God. If we have our own life, we can't enter there. We have to believe it was crucified. and believe in His until we are clothed from on high, until we are swallowed up with life, and we, as natural human beings born of the first Adam, are no longer existent. That life is gone. We are swallowed up with the life of the last, and the life of the first is gone forever. Oh, hallelujah. This is what we're after. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not going to be easy. Oh, beloved, every day is going to be a fight. Fight the fight of faith. Don't grow weary in believing. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary in laying hold of the truth and suffering the consequences of doing it. In Jesus' name, oh my goodness, we're going to leave this short today. Hallelujah. And I believe God is going to finish the good work He's begun in us in Jesus' name. God bless you today. Amen.